Hi, everybody, and welcome to Culture Bites. Today on the program, we're going to be talking about themed theme parks, and why millennial readers are so excited about a new book.
And we're going to have a chat about Selena Gomez to see what she has been saying about mental health in recent discussions. And we're going to have a look at Irish Wish, a brand new film from Netflix.
Nice. I cannot wait. I'm Inaz Rafai, here from the National News.
And I'm Farah Andrews.
So, how was your weekend?
How was my weekend? It was lovely. Thank you.
Lovely.
We had a little garden party at home, which was very pleasant. Yeah. I wanted to make the most of like a weekend outside if I could.
Yes. The weather's starting to get warmer. I have to admit, I do love it.
Yeah. We know.
I'm a big summer
you're
baby.
You're
a warm-blooded?
Not right.
I think everyone should be.
You're a woman for the warmth.
A woman for the warmth, definitely. So I'm really enjoying it. But I did spend some of this weekend indoors.
Oh.
I know. So which comes on to what we're first going to be talking about today, which is themed theme parks.
Specifically,
Dragon Ball Z.
Pop culture themed theme parks.
Theme parks of pop culture. So yeah, I went to one. So before we go on to what we're going to be talking about today, which is a specific one, but I went to Ferrari World for the first time.
So I've never been.
Yeah, it's quite fun. I recommend it. I took the children down. And they really enjoyed it. Some of the rides, I think, are a bit too scary.
Yeah, there are some very big rides at Ferrari World.
Big rides.
Like record-breaking rides from what
I know. Record-breaking rides. Well done.
On brand for the UAE.
Well done. So a lot of different theme parks. I think, you know, it's Ramadan at the moment. Not wanting to spend so much time outdoors because, you know, people are fasting and things. So actually theme parks are a great way for the kids to let off some steam and me just to be sat at the side.
And also it's spring break holidays, right?
Spring break so holidays have started.
They're on.
Yay. Said all the parents.
So they are at home.
All the parents. And it's a big holiday. Thanks.
It's long.
Easter and Eid.
And spring.
So it's a big long holiday. Yeah. So it's been one of those ones where we've all been trying to find different things to do. And the UAE, as we know, amazing for children and families. And I wanted to speak a little bit about the joys of themed theme parks.
So yeah, this kind of comes off the back of Dragon Ball, the anime and manga. Yeah?
Yeah. Well done.
My speciality subject.
You never watched it as a kid?
No, I actually didn't.
You're like the perfect age group.
But it still has to be a taste thing, right?
Yeah, true. I loved it.
A lot of people did, obviously. So Dragon Ball, huge manga, anime franchise, and they have just announced that in Saudi Arabia, there is going to be a themed theme park. Not just Dragon Ball Z, it's like the whole Dragon Ball universe.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. Because I was going to say, that isn't like that exciting.
No, it's going to be huge, from what I understand. It's coming from Qiddiya Investment Company, and they are the company that's also producing building Six Flags, which is going to be opening in Saudi Arabia as well. We don't have an opening date for the park, mm-hmm. not yet, but it is going to have, so tell me if this is right, as somebody who knows. There's going to be 7 different areas kind of inspired by the 7 balls in Dragon Ball.
Well done.
Yes.
It's kind of funny because Dragon Ball Z, much older than Pokemon, I believe. But kind of quite similar ilk with like the balls, and you throw the balls and like, woo, things happen.
Well, okay, similar world
I think,
then.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Z was, the anime, as in the drawn cartoon was first published 1984.
Yeah, 40 years this year because the...
I was going to say 70 years. God, I'm much older than I thought I was.
The creator recently passed away. And it's a very significant year for the Dragon Ball universe. So yeah, the 40th anniversary of the franchise, and the creator recently passed away. So significant announcement. But has that got us thinking over here at the National about the fact that there are so many pop culture, pop culture really does inspire theme parks.
Huge.
Like, internationally, we have like Universal, and we have obviously got Disney. But then here we haven't got Universal or Disney as much as we'd love them. But we've got like Warner Brothers.
Love Warner Brothers World.
Have you been?
Okay. Yes, many a time.
Even I have.
Yeah. I haven't been to Gotham City yet because my children are scared of it.
Okay. I mean, I did see the big kind of Joker entrance to Gotham City and I was like, oh yeah, I can see how that is scary.
Yeah, they weren't into that.
What other things about Warner Brothers do you love? Is there more?
Well, the Warner Brothers Abu Dhabi, I think this is so much more on brand for you because are you a fan of a certain wizard?
Harry Potter?
Yeah. The only one.
Yeah, of course.
The wizard. So Harry Potter, I know that there's like the whole thing in the UK and it's huge. Like people travel from really far away to see the Harry Potter world.
What? Yeah, like Harry Potter like set experience
in
North London. Yeah.
And now there's going to be the whole Harry Potter theme part of Warner Brothers World will come to Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. So we have, there's like the one in London and then there's four Wizarding Worlds of Harry Potter in Universal Studios around the world. Two in the US.
Yeah.
One in Beijing and one in Japan from memory.
Well done. Have you been to any of them?
No.
What?
I know.
Are you waiting for it to open locally?
Yeah. I've been holding out for that.
I love that.
No, I have just not been to Beijing, Tokyo, LA or Florida. Any convenient time to go visit Harry Potter?
What a shame.
If anyone would like me to go.
Please email Farah. No, that sounds, there's something about going to these theme parks that does just ignite something, like a child, the inner child in me.
They're so immersive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have like all these different ways of making you feel that way. So in Warner Brothers World, there's like one of the rides starts with you feel like you're in kind of like a house which has been ruined by a mouse.
This is in the cartoon, Looney Tunes section.
Yeah, like kind of Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes. And you just have this like really immersive world. And it has made my children watch Looney Tunes again because like they're like, oh, what's that? Oh, Daffy Duck. What's that?
Okay, yeah.
But yeah.
When the Harry Potter world opens here, we don't know that they've been very lock and key about so many of these details. It's anticipated to come next year.
Okay.
And it's going to be, from what I understand, the biggest in the world. But that might...
Love that. So on brand.
Of course.
I love that. That's amazing. Well, I can't wait. Ferrari World, for those of you who haven't been, definitely go. I thought it was a good day out for the children.
Yeah,
and actually lots
in.
Of like activities where they're like using their bodies. It's not just like sat on rides or waiting.
Okay, yeah, that's nice.
Which is really nice.
The thing about theme parks here that I always... quite like is that the queues are never huge, not like the big theme parks internationally where queuing for like 2 hours for the key attractions,
and then that means that you literally do like three rides.
Yeah,
so sad.
So there's been big news for millennials. I don't want to pigeonhole, but probably primarily millennial females, but not only, this week.
Talk to me.
Jacqueline Wilson,
huge author
who wrote basically the books that I devoured from like age 12 to 16, 17, I'd say. Maybe a bit younger than 12. So she has announced an adult sequel to Girls in Love. So it's the girls' book series. Girls in Love was the first book in that series. It was very much targeted at teenage girls. And then it's kind of like growing up with that series, she's announced Think Again. Oh. Which kind of checks in with the main characters in their 40s.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's not happened before, has it? I don't think we get that often where an author goes back to a childhood. Imagine if that happened to Harry Potter.
I mean, obviously I'd devour. That kind of happened in Harry Potter because Cursed Child... it followed Harry Potter's child and Harry Potter's like a secondary character as an adult. So it kind of happened.
Okay.
But the girls series, so following up with the three main characters who I did not remember the name of off the top of my head, but I have checked and they are called Ellie, Nadine and Magda. Did you read this series?
So I did not read this series, or at least I can't remember reading this series. What I do remember about Jacqueline Wilson, though, as a like young person of getting to that age where you're reading those kind of books, was that she took quite adult problems to a younger audience that made them more digestible.
100%.
So things like the foster care system in the UK,
single
parents. Like I remember Illustrated Mum being one of my favorite books. So like kind of like these these issues, societal issues that were going on, but she kind of made them understandable to a much younger audience.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest of her hits was probably Tracy Beaker.
100%. I guess, and that probably amplified by the TV series, which was on British children's television for years.
A long time. People still can't believe that Tracy Beaker's an adult.
Oh, yeah. You see those memes going around.
Yeah, either memes or those, like, you know, clickbait articles where it says,
Tracy Beaker's had how many children?
How dare she be an adult?
Yeah, I loved Jacqueline Wilson. I really did like devour a lot of her books. I loved the Girls series. I remember reading Girls in Love. So that came out in 1997, which would have come out when I was, let's do some quick maths, 8. So Perfect. That's, yeah, about the, like, exactly the right kind of time for me to be reading these kind of books. So I would have read all 4 books in the series. So it's like, it kind of, it's perfect, the kind of like leap forward 2 decades. Mm-hmm. That's how long we've been waiting for it, mm-hmm. for the follow-up and kind of checking in on these characters in their 40s. I guess it's also sort of similar to what they've done with, and Just Like That, with Sex and the City.
Ah, it's a bit like that.
Taking the story forward, kind of not just doing like a prequel, but kind of moving with the characters.
I think there's a lot of I think with these kind of books, which like really pull on heartstrings because they become nostalgic for parents as well.
Yeah.
So when they become adapted into musical theatre, like Matilda is coming to UAE soon, or they've become like quite big films. But then, a sequel to a book is...
Have your girls started reading Jacqueline Wilson? Or are they a wee bit too young?
No, they're like big. So my eldest, she loves Ottoline, which is a Chris Ridley series, which is actually fantastic. If anybody wants to get their daughter into reading, it's quite like, imagine like almost in that kind of like cartoony-esque way, like the drawings are very detailed. They have lots of things. Dahlia's been Ottoline before for like World Book Day.
Oh.
Which was very sweet. And then the big one is Roald Dahl.
Yeah.
Big Roald Dahl household. We can't get enough of it. And now the musical coming to the UAE, they're very excited about.
That's quite soon, if I'm not wrong.
June.
Okay.
So. I do need to get tickets though.
Yeah.
I haven't got tickets.
You can picture the big billboard just there as I turn into work.
Oh my God, I'm really scared it's going to be sold out because it's right at the beginning of the holidays. But yeah, I'm imagining a lot of women our age will probably be picking up this new book. But I wonder if it will make them give the older ones to their younger.
Yeah, that'll be nice. So the kind the of youngers. Like, we've spoken so much about like nostalgia as a theme, particularly at the moment we're seeing so much like 2000s nostalgia in film and television. And this kind of moves away from that because it brings the story forward, but then kind of like harking back to these stories that were originally being told in like the late 90s and early 2000s. Mm. Like we're kind of getting that sort of nostalgia fix, which is it's warming.
Warming. Okay, great.
Okay, the next thing we're going to talk about, we've had a few quite female-focused segments this week, which, I mean, actually, we started with very gender-neutral theme parks. Great.
Theme parks.
So we're going to be talking about Selena Gomez, who has been...
Big singer. I imagine everyone knows who she is.
I feel like she's moved past just singing, though. She is like an actress. She's in Only Murders in the Building, which is one of my favorite TV shows. If you have not watched it, very, very funny.
And on brand, it's about a podcast.
It's about a podcast. TV. She was also at one stage like the most followed person on Instagram, but I think that's
been taken away now. Yeah. But she was definitely.
Yeah, definitely at one stage. And so she's been speaking a bit about body image and mental health this week.
Very important. So what is this coming out because of?
So she's reflecting back on a documentary that she released a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. She's been speaking in a couple of panels recently. So her documentary was called My Mind and Me, which came out in 2022. Have you watched it?
No.
Right. Neither have I. But I've watched quite a few segments of it. And so what she's speaking about now is kind of how... So she's been a very keen proponent of looking after yourself, physically, but also mentally, how important mental health care is. And the fact that she has grown up in the public eye. She was a child star in Disney, and she has grown up in under like kind of intense scrutiny. She's roughly, she's early mid 30s.
Early 30s, yeah.
And so she's, yeah, she's grown up in the public eye and had like a real lens on her for her entire adult life.
Massively. And I think like she comes under a lot of scrutiny. Like I can't, I have remembered like so many memes or like snippets of her going to Met Galas and getting criticized for her outfit choices, for her body type, what her hair looks like.
Oh yeah.
You know, her makeup, like, oh, so I think like, I cannot imagine being that much in the public eye and receiving that kind of backlash just for going to a party in
a bad
frock.
She's either too thin, not thin enough, too made up, not made up enough. Her skin isn't perfect. She's got blemishes, her hair, this, the dress doesn't work. Like there's always something.
Yeah.
And I mean, like for anybody, yeah, that's it's horrendous to kind of be constantly surrounded by, which is part of the beast of fame and the nature of it. And I think there are elements of people half know what they're going into, but I don't think anyone can ever fully understand what it is that they're going into when they become famous. But she's also spoken about the fact that like kind of how she was treating herself when there was kind of like all of this third party input. And so this week she said, "It makes me sick to hear the things I was saying about myself in the beginning. It bums me out. There were a lot of people that cared about me more than I cared about myself, that I really wanted to do things I wasn't ready for. I'd hit rock bottom. I had to do it in my time." So she's had these this very frank discussion about how she treated herself kind of at this like apex of her fame.
So this is something that's really dear to my heart. I've just deleted so many like social medias and whatever from televisions, like iPads, right, like roaming around the house, because there is a lot at the moment about young people, their mental health and social media and what it's really doing. And one of the things that I found really interesting is actually I read this amazing article, not in our newspaper, so I won't mention it.
Other
you'll
newspapers
have to just go and
exist.
Do a Google check yourself, because I'm not going to reference who I've been reading. That's not the National, but it was a great article about the way girls and boys take social media in different ways. So girls will look at it and kind of like judge themselves against other people and the kudos that comes from that. And that will affect like their body image. So it really affects their body image. And a lot of the time, like we know this, but we're a bit older, that they're using filters. But my 8-year-old does not know that they're always using filters.
No.
She has no idea. So suddenly she's questioning. And she asked me a really worrying question the other day. And it actually made, that's when I was just like, got really quite iron fist about all of it.
Okay, so we're taking
this. Yeah, she asked me who had the biggest natural lips.
Oh.
Yeah. And she's 8. And I was like,
Was she talking like in the world? Was it like a comparison?
Yeah. And like, that's not her fault.
No.
That's not her fault. She's asking a question. But I was like, I don't think at 8 I knew that people had fake lips.
Or anyone was able to kind of, do these like enhancements and.
Yeah. I know it's part of our culture and it's part of society and all of these things, and it's fine. But I was just kind of a bit taken aback by it. So that's why all social media has now gone. Well done, Dahlia. You did that to yourself.
Like, especially for children, but even for adult women, it's sometimes impossible to understand where things have been filtered, where things haven't been filtered. Yep. Obviously, we've spoken recently about photoshopping and how that can go in certain directions, but like, everything is alterable.
Everything.
And people just have, and this is why I really do think recent news has drawn attention to things that are blown out of a proportion, but there has to be candor with when images are photoshopped or not, because where's the line? Like, there are famously, the Kardashian family, they admit to photoshopping their work.
Wow.
No, they do. They have
sometimes though they're a bit like, no, that's me.
Yeah, there is, and they will have images from events that are very much like them at an event that they're showing and sharing.
Yeah.
But then the images that we see on Getty are very different. And of course, there's angle work, lighting work, everything that can change an image. But there is also just like the people do just look a certain way, and we should be able to see natural hair, natural skin, the fact that some people aren't always like matte and blemish free, and that is normal, and we should be able to remember that.
Yeah, totally. I want to say about how boys take social media
though. Oh yeah, interesting.
Yeah, because I think boys are also really affected by it too. But apparently in this article that I read, what boys are tending to do is to socialize more on social media rather than in person. So girls love to have a little natter. I hate these stereotypes, but it's kind of like backed by science. Whereas men don't. So men tend to like socialize, as it were, through gaming.
So it's like where the patterns are.
Yeah, these are the patterns. And so then more and more men are suffering from loneliness, which is also really worrying.
But I guess like, yeah, when you have like, for want of a better word, like pseudo relationships with people that are, that you aren't actually kind of, I mean, like there is like great value in being able to speak to people kind of through games and in those kind of like virtual situations. But then that doesn't 100% swap out human interaction on day to day.
Exactly. So switch off your phone. Oh, it's so hard though.
Yeah. Do you have, you don't have an Apple phone. Does your phone tell you how long your average is a day that you spend on the phone?
Yes. Should we do it now?
No.
Yes, let's do it.
No, I can't.
Let's do it.
First of all, my phone's on the other side of the room, but mine's terrible and I really don't want to.
I dare you.
Mine is
horrifying.
Everybody
in the comments, just say if you want to know how much Florence spends on her phone.
This is like my Uber rating. I'm not willing to share that either.
I think mine is a lot better since I deleted Instagram from my phone.
So I haven't deleted Instagram, and I've recently been awful with like doom scrolling.
Don't do it.
And I've got that like, I've started playing this stupid game on my phone.
Don't be embarrassed.
Oh, it's not that. It's literally just like a distraction.
Is it
like
the Kardashian
game? It's essentially
game?
A fidget spinner. No.
Oh, it's a fidget spinner.
It's not. It's, I organize colored hoops into piles.
Oh my God, my OCD just got triggered and I love that.
The game is very satisfying. It's also very boring. And I just basically, it's like a switch off. It is basically a fidget spinner.
I kind of like those like games where it's just, where you're like, you have to do like, you bake a cake and it's like, you've got like four cakes to make. You've got to make them in the right time.
Basically,
like, I love those games. I have to take all of those away from my phone though. I do.
I should probably delete my hoops game.
I had to delete. Yeah.
That's probably added like 45 minutes
but
to my
is it
time
good for
on
your brain
phone.
To sometimes switch off?
But I don't know if that really is switching off because I'm still on
It's
my
better
phone.
Than doom scrolling Instagram, which just makes me feel quite like, it's really bad. And I don't like saying these words because I don't like this thing, but like I feel poorer, less attractive and fatter. So I'm just like, I'm not going to.
Although the amount that my algorithm knows me is horrifying because we are going on holiday in May to the US. I haven't told Instagram that. I don't know how my phone knows it.
Dun, dun, dun.
All I'm getting at the moment is like restaurant recommendations around DC, which is terrifying. Probably because I've like shared a couple with Eddie and now it's like, oh, you want that? Here's more.
And so here's like more and more and more.
So at the moment, my algorithm's actually quite delicious and not making me feel that bad.
I remember at one time, all I did was follow interior designers.
Mm-hmm.
And my algorithm was delightful then. But the evilness of
it creeps
like
back in. It creeps back
yeah,
in.
Yeah, just the patterns. Ah, terrible.
It's scary.
Let's move on. Let's move on. Let's get man in.
Let's get man.
Who's here?
Hi.
You haven't been much about town.
I haven't been much about town because it's Ramadan and I'm hungry for culture.
Oh, hey!
I'm. But there, you know, it's kind of like a quiet time. I think things will pick up after Eid, but there is stuff happening which I'm going to enlighten us all with. But first, I think we have to speak about some really pressing movie news.
Yeah, we have something big to talk about.
Yeah, an Oscar contender for 2025.
Something very rare has happened. All three of us have watched something within a week of release.
I think it was like when we were talking about this, when we were like sat in our editorial meeting, just like, Irish Wish. Oh yeah.
Because I was like, I saw this movie called Irish Wish.
And then Irish Wish. Yeah.
Farrah just looked at me like, you saw it too? And then she saw it as well.
So obviously we have a regional link. Lindsay Lohan is the star of the movie. And I do believe also a producer. So she's the driving force behind this.
And her husband's a co-producer.
Well, there we are.
Beautiful.
Behind this cinematic triumph that is now on Netflix.
I wish it was like here.
Dubai Wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dubai Wish.
Maybe that's her next one. Because this is her second Netflix movie.
Oh.
Or Abu Dhabi Wish. This is her second UAE Wish.
Wish. No, it should be Dubai. People recognize Dubai. Even me as an Abu Dhabi stronghold.
Also, Lindsay lives in Dubai.
She does live in Dubai,
yeah.
Let's like do a shout out.
She might do, because this is her second Netflix movie. She had the Christmas one. This is the Irish Wish. So maybe she's like has like a deal with Netflix.
Maybe it's a big trilogy.
Yeah, maybe it's a trilogy. The Lindsay Netflix trilogy. I'm here for it.
Seminal work.
Yeah.
So we've all watched it. It is Lindsay Lohan, who is a American... I'm not explaining who Lindsay Lohan is right now. I'm explaining her character.
Maddie.
We all know who Lindsay is. She does not need an introduction. She's an American, New York-based...
book editor?
Yeah, book editor. Yeah. But also aspiring author.
Yes, of course. Her dream.
And she goes to Ireland for a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
A wedding that she wishes was her own wedding.
So her author, who she's been book editing, but actually she's ghost written the book for him, who's like this celebrity. I mean, I was really surprised that there was paparazzi in a red carpet at his book opening. That was really strange.
So I watched this with Eddie and he was like, is this what book openings are like? Yeah. I was like, no.
Nothing of the sort. And then he gets married to her best friend or one of her best friends.
Yeah.
And so she goes to Ireland for the wedding. She's all heartbroken. Nobody knows that she's in love with him except her mother, Jane Seymour, who really, she could not have even been in the movie because all of her clips were in America. And if you just removed, and they were always on the phone FaceTiming, if you just removed her, I mean, you didn't really need her.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay had two friends
who knew nothing about her.
So early on in the, knew nothing. Early on in the film, first of all, I obviously loved it, but it very much is of a genre.
It's same. I love that genre. What would you call that? I'd call it a low tier rom-com.
Bubblegum.
Yeah.
Bubblegum rom-com.
Bubblegum rom-com.
Yeah.
It feels like that. It feels like it was great to see Lindsay just like in her element.
Lindsay looked like she was having a lovely time. Lindsay definitely got a trip to Ireland out of it, which I'm happy for her. I would like to go to Ireland.
Yeah.
I think the Irish must have paid for some of this film.
Do you?
Yeah.
I don't think an Irish person had anything to do with this film.
But wait, they were all wearing green. Every Irish person was wearing green. So obviously, they must be Irish.
That is obligatory in Ireland. I think the film, it used to be Hallmark. Now Netflix makes them, right? They're these bubblegummy rom-coms. I do love them. We spoke about it at Christmas.
Yeah, you need these kind of things on a Sunday.
And you can watch it with your family. It's not really like, the kind of rom-com that you can't watch with your kids.
Nothing seedy.
It's harmless.
No, yeah, completely.
Perfect.
Did the script always make sense?
No.
Was the dialogue sound like ChatGPT?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say, did AI write it? Maybe.
Maybe.
There was like one part that I did have to look up. So it's when she's in New York at the book launch. It's nighttime. She's on a red carpet. And then her mum FaceTimes her. Her mum's in Iowa. It's daytime and her mum's like at school teaching. And I was like, Eddie, what's the time difference between New York and Iowa? And he was like, like an hour maybe. And then he was trying to be nice. He was like, maybe it was like daytime savings and it was two. And I was like, don't fill these plot holes in.
I'll tell you what I found, like what pulled me out of the story is a nice way to say it, is that Lindsay Lohan's supposed to be this like clumsy book editor, right? She like knocks the vase of the mother-in-law.
Oh, yeah.
She's like
a presses antique.
Yes, Precious Antique, exactly. And when you first see her, she's getting out of the car and her scarf gets caught on the car and gets, and she, her neck doesn't break miraculously. So she's supposed to be this clumsy person, but her hair is perfect in every scene. Her clothes are ironed and perfect in every scene, but she's like this, and she wears glasses because she's a writer, you know? It's just this kind of like very surface silly stuff, you know, it's just, I just found it a little bit.
I agree with you.
Like no character development, no fleshed out characters, or her friend who's supposed to marry the writer, Emma, I think her name is. She has this like, is it a British accent?
That was a question I had for you guys. Where maybe it was quite a transatlantic British accent, right?
And they went to school together, but I'm like, well, where did you guys go to school together? Where you had such different accents? Like I thought that was. I have a thing with accents and movies, you know. So
well, then this whole film must have absolutely thrown you.
Nobody Irish sounded Irish,
no,
right?
There wasn't any. No one in that film was Irish.
I just loved all the kind of like weird and wonderful kind of imagery of what Ireland is to American people, because this old bus pulls up outside the airport to take them all to the village.
So it was like she can't get a taxi. She's like, Uber doesn't exist in Ireland.
It does.
And then a bus comes along and she gives him the address and he's like, sure, jump in. I was like, that's not how buses work anywhere. This isn't just a cheaper taxi. And then everyone on this bus just goes to where Lindsay wants to go. Like, the whole of Ireland is like
one village.
One village.
Yeah.
Right by the airport.
Well, I read somewhere that I think the Irish government hope this will drive more tourists to Ireland.
Which is a lovely potential happening.
I mean, it looked very green and beautiful. That was filmed in Ireland.
There was a lot of like flowers planted for this. Like, just every single scene looked so floral. I was like, why are there's just dandelions everywhere, like all the time.
What did you think about the lady who is the kind of whimsical?
The saint. So I looked her up. I Googled her.
Right.
There is an actual Saint Beatrice. What was her name? I forget. But she doesn't grant witches. She performs miracles, like top tier miracles, like will heal the sick.
So she was given a slight demotion.
Yes, she was demoted.
When she was rearranging weddings.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so it was a bit, it good made for no Lindsay. Sense.
Good for Lindsay.
You know what? I'll say that the silver lining in this whole thing is that I really, Lindsay Lohan is a great actress. Like seeing her there amongst Steve Curry's wife, I forget her name. And
I feel like Aisha
Curry, yeah. Seeing her among all these people, you realize she's actually a great actress. She's a good actress. She's believable. She's entertaining to watch. You can't help but watch her.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I think once she's finished her contract with Netflix, I would love to see her do like something a little bit more, you know.
I agree. And I think there was a time, there's lots of actors that have had that leap from the rom-com into the serious, like Matthew McConaughey comes to mind. Right. So there's lots of actors that do
Hugh
it.
Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant's become really quite interesting. Yes. But I still really love the Lindsay. I think there's something warm and cuddly and it's perfect for a Sunday.
And she is just, she's like nostalgic and she is very warm and exactly what you say, and just like a kind character on screen in almost every single one of her roles. And you kind of like, she plays like a very ready to go like best friend in like pretty much all of her roles. And
it's nice, especially when you guys are talking about Selena Gomez. She was Selena Gomez. Like she was that person who was hounded by the paparazzi and had like a terrible time. Really bad family dynamics there. So it's nice to see her, like she's a mom now. She's based in Dubai. She's sort of away from Hollywood. She goes and does her thing and then comes back here. Like, I love it.
And she has spoken very positively about like living in Dubai and why she moved to Dubai. It literally was to get away from the paparazzi. Mm. As we know, paparazzi is not legal in this country. Mm. So if you're on the Daily Mail and you see a paparazzi photo, that is a nice little paid for photo setup in almost every situation because there is no such thing as paparazzi here. And she had that, it was literally just like this country was an escape for her.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she was here throughout COVID. She spoke so positively about this country during COVID on like American talk shows. And she's really set up her life here. And then she's moved here. She's married someone from the region. She has a little boy and very happily here.
Yeah. So happy to see that for her. And I will always support a Lindsay Lohan movie, no matter what tier it is.
Woohoo! Yeah. Well, there you go then,
a positive
guys.
Message to end on.
What's your rating then out of 5 stars?
Within the bubblegum rom-com out of 5, I would say like a 3.
Yeah. Farah?
For the genre that I, like what I wanted, like watching it on Sunday, 3.5. It was perfect.
3.5. Yeah, okay. I'll say 3.5 as well.
Yeah.
It gave me exactly what I wanted, an AI generated script.
So, man, you have been about town.
I have been about town. I mean, like I said, it's Ramadan, so things are a bit more chilled. But there is the El Sakala Avenue Ramadan nights happening right now. And so there are, it's on until March the 31st. There are talks, there's food trucks. It starts from 7 p.m. to late. So talks, food trucks, there is performances. There's like musical performances as well as like dance performances. Some of the galleries are open. There's also really cool regional local brands, whether they're like, you know, make your own like, what is it called? Olive spreads and yummy organic things like that, as well as like jewelry brands and some fashion brands. And like I said, some of the art spaces are open. So definitely go check that out with the whole family. It's great. And some places like Cinema Akil, they're always open late. They have like a really great film program for the next month. But I want to talk about specifically a really cool exhibition that I saw in a space called Volte Art Project. And the exhibition is called It Lies Beyond, and it's by an artist called Rashid Rana. He's a South Asian artist. It's a very, very cool exhibition. So you walk in, and the whole space, it's a big, massive space. It's like the floor and the walls, you just see like a very serene ocean. Oh. You're like, oh, this is really beautiful, and the waves are crashing, and it's very nice. But as you walk up closer to the image on the wall, it's actually made up of lots of tiny images of rubbish and trash in the ocean. Oh. And so it's talking a lot about our perception of the world. And actually, if you look through, you look really deeply, everything is made up of something really dark and bad for the environment. So he's talking about colonization and climate change and a consumption and waste, and how actually from far away, the sea looks really great in real life. But if we actually go beneath the surface, there's all this terrible stuff happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He also
Sounds very powerful.
He also has this massive, very sleek sculpture that looks like a building, and it's very reflective. But as you walk around it, there's like an image that pops up of a cityscape of buildings, and you're like, oh, that's interesting. And then when you walk closer and look inside, it's actually made up of lots of photographs of like houses and slums from Lahore in Pakistan. So it's again that same idea of you see this beautiful, glittery, sleek landscape, but as you go in, you're seeing the like microcosm of how these cities are actually made. So it's all about perception and appearances and like the modern urban world and how it's affecting nature. So it's a really lovely, interesting, lovely is not the right
powerful
word. Powerful, very like interesting way to look at a lot of problems.
I really like that when artists take like really small images and make them into something big that kind of gives them a dual meaning.
Yes, exactly.
And you get those ones as well where sometimes you walk past and it becomes like a different floating image.
And it's so immersive, like the whole space, like you're literally inside of something that is made up of garbage, but it also looks beautiful. So it's really interesting. Yeah, so check that out at El Sakala Avenue.
It's amazing. So with it, you've been reading more books though.
I have been reading more. I wrote last week an article about 10 books that you should read if you're interested in the environment. So a lot of it is books about like speculative fiction or science fiction that deal with the environment like this artist was dealing with and make you think about the environment and climate change in different ways. Mm-hmm. There's lots of great artists on there like Margaret Atwood, who wrote The Handmaid's Tale. Yeah. She has a great book in the list called Oryx and Crake. But I really want to talk to you guys about one of the books that's it's called Beauty by Sherry S. Tepper. This is one of the most amazing books in my mind that's ever been written. But Sherry S. Tepper is an author that not many people know, but like all the top sci-fi and fantasy authors know her. She's like really important, but the mainstream don't know her enough. So her book Beauty is a mixture of fantasy, sci-fi, time travel, reimagining of fairy tales.
Love it.
And
yeah, I'm in.
Sold?
It's
sold.
It should be a Netflix series. It's brilliant. So it's set in the 14th century, with a character called Beauty, who is the original inspiration for Sleeping Beauty.
Right.
She's an aristocrat. She's 16. And she finds out that she's like half fairy or half magical, whatever. And so she's going to go off on a quest to discover that when time travelers kidnap her to the year 25 something, and she sees that the world's, you know, destroyed. And so then she decides to go back in time to the 1980s, 1990s, and try and change time in the present to save the future. But she's actually from the past. So it's like a real...
Like, that is a muddle.
It's a muddle. But when you read it, it's so accessibly written and it's so easy to read. It's a first-person narrative and it makes you think so much about nature, world, fairy tales, feminism. Has a very strong eco-feminist message throughout the story. So it's a really great way to... She uses so many different tropes and genres to send one message. So definitely check that book out and also go on and read the list of books and see something that you would like.
That sounds amazing.
That sounds really interesting. I'm definitely going to go. My man-generated reading list is getting longer than I can even...
Yeah. I need to read more. Which I've deleted Instagram, so it's going to happen.
Oh yeah.
Read more.
I think that's the thing.
Maybe I should bring my Kindle for the drives. Now looking back at the beginning, that's exactly what I should do.
Last year we all read Yellow Face. Yellow Face. This year we've all watched Irish Wish, so we have to have a book that we've all read.
Yeah, we have to.
We should try and find one actually.
Should we try and do this book?
Yes, we can.
We can do Beauty.
Yeah, we can do Beauty. Yeah, and we can talk about it.
Okay. Amazing.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for listening today. That is it from us.
If you like this episode, please follow and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. And don't forget to tell all your friends and family. Bye.